Hello again and welcome to another episode of Real Talk with RJ. If this is your first time listening, please don't forget to like and subscribe and follow so you know exactly when we release brand new episodes. Today we are going to talk about a very, very important subject, and that is beware of the victim mentality. The victim mentality is something so toxic. It's like a sickness that you don't even realize you have until somebody who can see it points it out. But it's so damaging. There's really absolutely no way to grow when you have the victim mentality. What is the victim mentality? It's where everyone else is at fault, where you blame everybody else, where he did this or she did that, and they're all just against me, or they're just jealous of me, and they treat me like crap, or they're unfair, everybody's mean to me, or I'm persecuted for the color of my skin, or I'm persecuted for my religion, or just everybody else is at fault, and you're just running out of fingers because they're pointed at everybody else rather than at you. How do I know this? Because I used to be I had like stage 4 victim mentality. Everybody was against me. Everybody was at fault. Everybody hated me, and everybody was always persecuting me unfairly. I didn't have enough money, so those who were rich were thinking they were better than me. And you know, I was raised in an environment, not by my mother. My mom has always taught me to love everybody, no matter what they look like, or who they follow, or what they believe. But having said that, I was raised in an environment around so many people who believed that, you know, I'm the victim of racism. I'm at a disadvantage because of the color of my skin. And I would have people come up to me. I've had people who don't have the same color of skin I have, or have the same ethnic background that I have, come up to me and tell me, well, you're treated unfairly because of the color of your skin, and you have a disadvantage. Like, being black is like a special needs thing. Now, if you look at me, I don't look like your typical, I'm not dark. I'm not a dark-skinned person. I'm a light-skinned individual. But like, I've always been taught to judge the character of a person rather than the color of the skin. But I've had so many people come up and try to convince me that I am disadvantaged because of the color of my skin. I don't feel disadvantaged. When I went to war and I fought for the United States of America as a Marine, I didn't feel disadvantaged. I got yelled at by my drill instructors just like everybody else got yelled at by the same drill instructor. Nobody got favoritism. Everybody got punished the same. Everybody got messed with the same. And when I say messed with, I mean like the little games that they play in boot camp just to make your life a little more hell, to kind of toughen you up. You know, I've been thrown up against a wall, you know, just by my drill instructor to make a point. We were exhausted, you know, that we were forced to drink so many different bottles of water, like big, what we call water bowls, but they're actually canteens, plastic canteens of water. And there's a lot of water that those things can hold. So they would say, we're going to hydrate you now. And we would all stand, like all 190 something recruits, all of us are standing there, and we would fill those canteens up with water. And then they would say, ready, deep. And we'd breathe in. Just the little games that they played with us in the Marine Corps and boot camp. Like, move. And we would drink that. We'd drink it as fast as we can, and then raise it upside down over our heads to show that it's empty. And then they go, I don't think you guys have had enough. Go fill them up. Let's go. And you fill them up. And obviously, I'm not going to sit here and start yelling like they did and tell you every little detail that they did, because we have a lot of like human rights, quote unquote, organizations filled with people who have never put on a uniform or went to war. They're the people that sit there and complain from the warmth and comfort of their own homes. They're going to try to tell us how to fight a war. So their little spoiled little angel comes home and goes, the drill instructor pointed at me and cussed at me and yelled at me. So then they go start this big movement and say, you guys have no business cussing at them and yelling at them and grabbing their shirts. You have no right to do that. That is wrong. What do you guys need to do that for to make a point? Well, because the enemy that we're fighting is not going to just stop at cussing at them and grabbing them by the shirt. They're going to beat the crap out of them. And at times, it's possible that these people can be in possession of very sensitive information. And if that is too hard for them, that kind of environment is toxic for them, what if they break and they give information that can kill millions of people? Because you wanted to protect your little angel of a child by saving him from the mean old drill instructor. Now, guess what? Millions of people can die because you made your child soft. People who have fought in war know what is necessary to survive in war. So if they're training us and they're toughening us up, males and females alike, then stay out of it. They know what they're doing. That is significantly stopping the deaths of a lot of would-be individuals. A lot of people learn how to become tough and prepare for a world that is heartless. But if you're going to coddle your child is going to be the kind of person that grows up and most likely shoots up a movie theater. Because you're coddling them. They need to grow. They need to be tough. The world is getting more heartless by the minute. And they need to learn how to survive in it. So going back to my original point, they would toughen us up by doing things like this. They would go out when people didn't want to listen to orders and obey orders. Then they would say, okay, go get your canteen, fill them up, drink them. Okay, go fill them up again, drink them. Okay, go fill them up again, drink them. We do this about 7 or 8 times, easy. And then guess what happens? People start throwing up because they have too much water in their stomachs or in their system, and they're just throwing up. And they go, oh, we don't want you to get dehydrated. Go get another one, go drink it again. And then we start marching. We'll march for hours on the parade deck, just this wide open space of concrete. And we're just marching back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And guess what walking with a lot of water does to you? Yes, it does. It makes you have to pee. Very, 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 very badly. So when I was in the Marine Corps, it was the Marine Corps birthday, which we celebrate every year on November 10th. It was the founding of the United States Marine Corps. And we are standing on the parade deck in a formation after having just drank so much water and been punished. We had to be at a formation at, you know, by a certain time. Well, we didn't have enough time to stop in the barracks, which is where we all lived. We didn't have enough time to go stop there on the way and go make it real fast. Had to call, use the restroom. So we continued to march from where we were, and we had to be in formation with the commanding general of the base. There were some porta-johns out there because there was, like, you know, construction projects not too far off. So we're all standing in the position of attention, you know, with our hands by our side, our feet at, you know, like almost a 45 degree angle. And we're standing with our chest out, you know, looking hardcore. And our senior drill instructor is right in front of us. And we have the two other drill instructors in the back of the platoon watching. A platoon is our group. They're watching the back of us. And all of a sudden it starts hitting us. We all gotta pee. After having marched for so long, we're all peeing. So, you know, everybody's familiar with the pee dance, where, you know, when you really gotta go, you start moving side to side, and we can't move. We're at attention, and the commanding general's flopping his gums, just talking, and nobody cares about what this guy is saying, but he thinks they're all here to see me. But nobody cares about this guy. Nobody knows who he is. We just know this guy's a general, and, like, yeah, whatever. You're there and you're talking, and we're all just like moving side to side as subtle as possible, using the muscles of our thighs to stop us from having to pee. And we're just going, oh, like all of us are making these sounds, and oh my gosh, oh, trying to stand at attention. And we can hear our drill instructor in the back just saying, you better quit freaking moving. You better stop moving. Don't you dare embarrass me in front of the general. And we're all just like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And all of a sudden, like, every guy, and this is the honest truth, I was one of the very few who did not pee on myself. And that's a blessing, and that's the honest to God truth. But just about every other person in this 164 recruit platoon, just they just peed all over themselves. They're like, I'm so sorry. People were telling me right next to me, hey, dude, I'm so sorry, man. I can't hold it anymore. And I'm just like, go for it, bro. Like, we're not moving our lips and talking loud. We're just kind of talking to our teeth. And we just peed all over our, like, I didn't realize how bad it was, you know, to the guys next to us and everything. But It's a long process. Okay, going back, there's a long process of they get the oldest Marine in that group and the youngest Marine in that whole group, and they all go cut the cake, you know, the birthday cake, the Marine Corps birthday cake, with the commanding general. And then they march the birthday cake around all of us so that we can all see the cake. Like, it's a long process. And we're standing there after having marched for like an hour, after having drank so much water. So we haven't peed yet. We're all just sitting there and merging side to side, trying to hold our urine in, just like, oh my gosh, I'm praying. I am not kidding. I was so close to God right there. I was like, Lord, please, please don't let me pee on myself. Please don't let me pee on myself. He heard me. He's like, all right, don't worry about it. You good. So like, we had this one recruit, I don't remember his name, but he was like the shortest recruit in our platoon. He had to drink just as much water as the rest of us, but because he's so much shorter, his bladder was a lot smaller. So all that water was hitting him hard, and he refused to pee on himself. He ran out of the formation, and all of us saw him because he was actually near the front. He just ran out of the formation and went to the port-a-john and used the restroom, and then just like, oh, and then walked back. Like, we heard him go like breathe out, like exhale, as he walked back in the platoon. And from that moment, we knew we were dead, because you don't just leave the platoon. You don't just run out of the platoon and go use the restroom. And you definitely don't do that right in front of the commanding general of the base. So we knew we were going to be in for like a lot of hell. The senior drill instructor said, like, he saw it, but he didn't say anything because he was still in the very front of the platoon at attention, you know, and they were showing the respect to the commanding general. And then after the general finished his whole monologue that nobody cared to hear, he saluted. He said, drill instructors, carry on with the plan today. And everyone's like, aye, sir. They turned around, and then the senior drill instructor looked at us and goes, you guys are effing dead. You guys are dead. And then he called the bulldog, which every Marine Corps boot camp platoon has what we call a bulldog. That is the meanest drill instructor. That's the one that enforces all of the senior drill instructor's orders. He's the one that punishes. He's the like the craziest, meanest one. But that's how it works. You have the senior drill instructor, which is the one that commands. He's the one that's in charge of that platoon. You have the J belt. That's the one that teaches you how to do your tents, your weapons. Like, they're the one that teach you everything. The bulldog is responsible for teaching you to drill, like to march and stuff like that, and get you prepared for stuff like that. And they also punish you. Like, and those are the meanest ones. So he gave control to our bulldog. And he came up and he looked at us, and he just had this evil smile on his face, like, oh, I'm gonna have fun with you. But first, he took us to the barracks so that we can go use the restroom real fast. And I ran up, and we had about 30 actual seconds. He counted, he said, you got 2 minutes, and he counted. He goes, 2! 120, 120, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 15. Like, they skip tons of numbers and just count very, very, very fast. So to keep you moving, like, time is ticking, let's go. So I went up there, and we were just like acrobats. We were all rushing up these stairs, just dodging other people on the way so that we can get to the restrooms. And we just like, we all had to still urinate. And we finally came back, went back into formation, went back outside and went to what we call the pit, which is a big open dusted area of hell. And they just commanded us to do so many exercises, and it was hard. And they cussed at us and yelled at us. And that was the day that our guidon, which is our platoon flag, it's the flag that represents what we do and who we are. It's our platoon number. It's the flag that has our platoon number on it. He tied that flag up, and then he put a cover over it, which is a symbol of shame for the platoon that's marching with it, because we still have to march with it, but it shows that the platoon is under the status of shame. It's an embarrassment to the rest of the platoon, or it's an embarrassment to the senior drill instructor, so the senior drill instructor will not allow them to show their colors as they march. Everybody knows what it means. It's really bad. So since we all left, and we had to march away. And because of how we acted on the parade deck, and we ran out, and we all just... Oh, by the way, when we marched away from the parade deck after the general had stopped speaking, there was a massive puddle of what looked like water, but everyone knew it was not water. Like, it was huge. It was a big, big, big puddle of water. Urine. Yeah. So that happened, and that was a crazy intensive moment. So, like, we, in that time, we learned everybody was equal. One person messed up, we all messed up. Everyone got treated the same. And in that type of mentality, you're able to move forward. You're able to grow. You're able to matter. You're able to stop thinking about yourself because everybody's working together. That's a healthy mentality. Everyone's working together. Everyone's investing. Everybody's doing something for the cause. Now, the victim mentality is a big hindrance. It's everyone's against me. You're on your own. You're never wrong. Like, I'm so mad they all cussed me out and got me kicked out of the movie theater. I can't believe they kicked me out of the movie theater. Maybe it's because of the color of my skin. Nope. Maybe it's because you wouldn't stop talking on your phone. Maybe it's because you wouldn't shut up in the middle of the movie. Maybe it's because you kept talking to the movie when everybody else was trying to watch it. And now it's even more personal because movie tickets are expensive. They used to be like $5. Now they're like $60 just for one person to see a movie, depending on what movie it is, if it's opening night or whatever the case may be, or what theater you're going to. So people are just tired of putting up and spending so much money to go, you know, watch a movie, only to hear somebody else talking all the way through it. And a lot of times they're saying a bunch of stupid things that nobody cares about, just so that they can get attention when everybody else is trying to watch the film. So yeah, they're going to call the people and tell them, hey, can you get this guy out of here? They just won't shut up. I can't watch the movie. And then they're going to say, all right, you need to leave. And then they put up a front, they put up a problem, they get mad, then they turn the lights on inside the theater and then kick you out anyway, and then you're mad. Oh, it's because of the color of my skin, or it's because, you know, this, or it's because of that. No, it's because you wouldn't shut up. That's the victim mentality. Victim mentality is everybody else is wrong, not me. It's so easy to blame everybody. But what does that do? It doesn't let you grow. In fact, it pacifies you. It shuts you up to realizing what's really wrong. Because when you realize something's actually wrong, one of two things happens. Either you see, okay, this is a problem and I need to do something to correct it. Or this is a problem and I'm just gonna leave it like that. But still, that realization causes one of two paths. And for those who are trying to grow, that's critical. It's critical that you realize that there's a problem and that there's an option with that problem that can help you become better. But the victim mentality, it hides all that from you. So all you see is what everybody else is doing. And you see that you're this beautiful, perfect little person that you have nothing to worry about, that you didn't do anything wrong. Oh, they're threatening to fire you. Oh, it's because you're so popular and everyone likes you and they're just jealous of you. Are you sure about that? Maybe it's because you put up the worst numbers out of the whole entire workforce. Maybe it's because you come in late every day without excuse. Maybe it's because you take your lunches super late or you come back super late. Or maybe it's because you're dangerous with your work performance, that you cause so many safety violations, they just can't afford to keep you because you're going to get them sued. The victim mentality won't let you see all that stuff. The victim mentality is just going to tell you, oh, they're just hating on you because I'm going to be the boss one day. Huh, want to bet? Because leaders aren't victims. As I've said before, if you go to a battered woman's shelter, you will see two types of people there. You will see victims, and you will see those who have been victimized. The women there who are in charge of those battered women's shelters, not one of them considers themselves a victim. Each of them considers themselves having been victimized. They are survivors. And they are some of the strongest women alive because they refuse to let being victimized stop them from growing. they have survived. Those kids, women, men, all those people who have survived cancer, they don't sit there and say, oh, I'm always going to be afraid of cancer. They're like, no, I survived cancer. Now I just got to continue to live. I'm going to do my best and I'm going to keep moving forward. They don't let cancer stop them from living and enjoying a life. They come back, they survive, they move forward. The victims are people who don't realize that there is a way out. That you're no longer a victim. You're no longer helpless. A victim is someone who's helpless. Like, hey, there's help. There's opportunities for you to grow and there's opportunities for you to heal, but you have to do the work. We can't do it for you. We can't force you to do it. You have to do the work yourself. So for those who are willing to do the work and those who are willing to take an honest look at the situation, I encourage each one of you guys to stop being a victim. You're no longer victims. Beware of the victim mentality. Because the victim mentality has come a long way to destroy your potential. Remember that. Say it with me. The victim mentality has come a long way to destroy your potential. One more time. The victim mentality has come a long way to destroy your potential. You are worth so much more than you can ever imagine. And if everybody else is at fault and you're okay, that should be a red flag for yourself to wake up, because you've been infected with the victim mentality. Now, I will admit that there are times, few and far between, but it is possible that people are very jealous of you. That don't go straight to that being your first option, but there's possibilities where people just are very jealous of you because you've succeeded where they have failed. So yeah, it is what it is. That's not the victim mentality, but people can be like that. But you have to really look at the situation and see if that really is it. Don't be so quick to jump to that conclusion, because if it's quick to jump to that conclusion, maybe you need to take a closer look. Woe is me doesn't help. You know, if you're drowning, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm drowning. I'm so tired. I can't swim. Then yeah, you're going to drown. If you're like, crap, I'm in the water and I'm getting tired. I got to figure out a way to float. I got to figure out a way to get back to the ocean. How can I do this? Okay, there's waves coming out. Let me try to use the waves to bring me back in so I don't waste all my energy trying to swim against the waves. I'm just going to try to swim with the current and let the current bring me back in and let the waves push me closer to shore. The victim mentality would never let you think like that. Like, oh crap, I can't swim. The pool is 10 feet deep and my baby just fell into the pool. Oh my gosh, I can't swim. I gotta try to get my neighbor to come help me out. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Victim mentality is not gonna let you get in that pool because you can't swim. But guess what? The average human is about 5'5" and you can jump a lot higher in the water than you can outside of it. So I'm not encouraging people to jump in the water if you can't swim. I'm not saying that. But for me personally, if I couldn't swim and my baby happened to jump in the water for some reason, even though, you know, I'm confident I would have like a gate around the pool or something like that. If they were to fall into a pool and they could not swim, I don't care if I can swim or not. I'm going to jump into the pool, whether I have the little lifesaver ring holding onto one side and the other side is, you know, onto my arm and tied somewhere else, or the rope is tied to one side and I have the other side of my arm, you know, I can jump up and grab that little wrap, or I can dive in there right where my child is, pick them up and then jump up to the surface and then jump back down and then jump closer and closer to the side of the ledge until I'm out there on the ledge, and then I can pull them out and then get out of the water. The victim mentality would not let you think that way. Oh my gosh, my significant other is not able to breathe. He or she is choking. Oh my gosh, they're choking. Oh my gosh, we're in a restaurant, they're choking. The victim mentality would be like, does anybody know CPR? The victim mentality is helpless and hopeless. Does anybody else know CPR? If you don't have the victim mentality, you'll be like, huh, let me get this. I'm going to figure out a way to learn that. I know the Heimlich maneuver because I'm not a victim. Or you would say, I think I should learn the Heimlich maneuver just in case I need to use it. Or you would try to talk them through it, or you would have somebody else do it, but you would be very proactive in doing something to figure it out. So when all is said and done, if you are infected with the victim mentality, you can forget about reaching your potential because everybody else is stopping you from it, at least in your perspective. You're going to be the kind of person that believes you're entitled to handouts, that everybody else owes you, and everybody else owes your ancestors, and everybody else does this, and you're entitled to that. And when you go here, you're entitled to this, you're entitled to that. You're going to be those kind of people, the victim mentality. In fact, we see it online. We see it on videos and stuff like that, where people of one skin hue would walk into a restaurant and start immediately speaking racist things to other people. But then when people of the other skin tone will start speaking racial things, then everybody jumps down their throat. Everybody will just jump down their throat like, oh my gosh, you're racist, while dismissing the fact that the other person of the other skin color happened to be just as racist, if not more racist, in their statements. So I'm just saying, racism is wrong. Wrong is wrong. And when people are at fault regardless of the color of the skin. But that victim mentality is very toxic. It doesn't just keep you from feeling like hopeless and you know, like, oh, there's no hope for my future, or, you know, helpless and hopeless. That's not the only symptom of the victim mentality. The other part of the victim mentality is that of entitlement. So when you feel you can walk somewhere and do whatever you want because everyone else owes you, or they can't do nothing because they're this skin color, or they come from this country, or they can't do nothing because they're cops, they can't touch me. You're only hurting yourself and making yourself look like an idiot. And do you really want to teach your kids how to be idiots? Because yeah, you can walk up to a police officer in the United States of America and walk up and flip them off in the face. And if they want to, they can actually arrest you for disorderly conduct. But you know, you can also beat that in court and say, hey, I have a First Amendment right of free speech. I decided to put out a finger. I was far away from him, so he couldn't do anything, or her. You can fight it. You could possibly win. But the thing is, like, yeah, there's lots you can get away with. You can get away with doing a lot of stuff to exercise your rights. And you can teach this to your kids, too. Say, you have the right to do this. It's your right. Your right is this and your right's that. But guess what? If you teach your kids that it's okay to act like an idiot because it's your right, which is also part of that victim mentality of feeling entitled to stuff, your kid is going to walk outside one day and feel entitled to the wrong person who's not a cop. And that person will walk up and go, oh, you little entitled prick, and put a gun to that person, to your child's head, and pull the trigger. And then yet again, you're still going to be a victim. Oh my gosh, my baby got killed. He shouldn't have gotten killed. He shouldn't have gotten killed. He probably wouldn't have gotten killed if you didn't teach him how to be an idiot. Your actions have ripple effects. So let's use them wisely. Let's stop doing things just because we can do them if they are at the expense of other people. There's no reason to abuse a right just because it's your right. Now, there are certain people out there right now who do things called like auditing America, who are filming in public places and stuff like that as part of the First Amendment right. That I agree 100%. You should be doing those things. Why? Because if you don't use certain rights, you lose them. But it doesn't give you a right to act like an idiot or to go outside and be stupid, or to teach your kids it's okay to be stupid. In closing, if you don't remember anything I said, remember this. Beware of the victim mentality, because the victim mentality has come a long way to destroy your potential. Thank you for hanging out with me again on Real Talk with RJ. signing out.